You are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com all over the world. Past episodes of this show are available at creamcitymedia.com/anti. I'm your host, NTSC, and welcome again to another week of The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we are against so much, what on earth do we stand for? Well, the ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society could look like while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. And we're going to focus a little bit in this week's episode on that last part of the statement that I make every single episode in the introduction for this program. Recognizing today, none of us are truly free. What does that mean? We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, don't we, here in the United States of America? Well, what does freedom really mean in the context of our daily lives here in America? And to a larger extent, what kind of freedoms ought we enjoy? I'm going to skip to the major point of this episode by mentioning the title I'll probably use. The title for this episode is most likely going to be socialism. Last week, we talked about syndicalism, what syndicalism is, how syndicalism is practiced, and what a syndicalist society might look like. Because we do try to interest ourselves on this program on what a free society could look like, what kind of freedoms we could all enjoy in comparison to the freedoms we do not enjoy currently. Socialism is one of those terms that's getting a lot more traction these days. And as with so many terms, especially here in America, in the dialogue of politics, there is a large misunderstanding to what socialism actually means. Anyone who is paying attention to modern politics here in the contemporary age might look at candidates like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie Sanders, and they might say to themselves, oh, those two candidates are socialists. They call themselves socialists. Therefore, what they stand for must be socialism. And you would be very right to assume that, because that's what the term has kind of come to mean here in the American conversation. And I hate to tell you, but that's completely backward. It's completely wrong. It's a complete misrepresentation of what socialism actually is, which is one of the reasons that they primarily correct people who might call them, just pure socialists, and they call themselves social democrats, I think, or democratic socialists. I can't really remember. One of those two. And the term is kind of vague, isn't it? The definition of that term is not very well understood. And, you know, absolutely the definition of socialism as a whole is completely misunderstood. And I think miseducation about socialism has been perpetrated very purposefully against the American populace. You don't read about socialism in school. You don't really read about capitalism either. You're just kind of expected to understand that this is the system we live in. It's the best system in the world. And anything that isn't it is evil, and you should ignore it and fight against it and all the various wars that we have enacted in the past against, you know, quote unquote socialism, quote unquote communism, etc. All of those wars were just and good. Yeah. That's been the storyline for every history class I've ever taken. So what we're going to attempt to do in this episode is examine what these so-called socialists running for office, who hold office in America, what they stand for, what their platform is, what their belief system is, and we will compare that to what actual socialism is. And then we will decide for ourselves if they are actually socialists. And then, if we have time, we will further examine the actual tenets and ideology of socialism, how it may be put into practice, how it's been attempted to put into, how it, I should say, people have attempted to put it into practice historically. And then we will compare that system with the system under which we struggle today, neoliberal capitalism. Okay, so to talk about this, we're going to have some terminology under our belts. And a lot of these terms I have absolutely talked about in past episodes, but I'm going to assume you've never listened to any of those. So we're going to redefine them as quickly as we can. One of the terms that I use all the time that you're going to hear, hopefully, if you're ever in a conversation about socialism, you're going to hear the term the means of production. So they're generally defined as the facilities and resources for producing goods. What does that mean in practice? Well, let's say that you are a warehouse employee for Amazon or XPO or any other large fulfillment center here in the United States of America or abroad, right? That doesn't really matter. Let's say that that's where you work. And more people are absolutely being employed in that fashion. Well, in that case, the means of production is the warehouse, all of the facilities inside the warehouse to get the job done. So that's going to be scanners to scan items. That's going to be all the shelves on which items are stored. That's going to be the Rolly platforms, I don't know what those are called, that move the items around the facility and get them into trucks. That's going to be the trucks. That's going to be the break room. That's going to be the offices. That's going to be the paper and the pens. Everything that you use to do your job in your place of work is the means of production. Okay. Another term that I've already used is neoliberalism, because the system under which we all work and labor today is a neoliberal capitalism. If you don't really know what neoliberalism is, I did a whole episode on it, but essentially, if you're going to boil it down to its barest, basest definition, a neoliberalism, or you know, a neoliberal capitalism, is a system that will, under all circumstances, do everything in its power simply to maintain free market capitalism. That's what any neoliberalism seeks to do. It thinks that free market capitalism is the system that must be maintained and supported at all costs, and so it uses every measure at its disposal to support and promote free market capitalism. Some of the more well-known tools at the disposal of a neoliberalism is privatization, for example, because anything that is held by the state, anything that is publicly owned, must be privatized to get it into the hands of the market. That's what neoliberalism wants. It thinks that market solutions are the only valid solutions, and it thinks that the only role the government should have is essentially as the police and military arm to promote the free market capitalism both home and abroad. And you can see that play out historically in all of the various genocidal wars that the United States has enacted on countries that had things that our businesses wanted. Any South American country, we have traipsed all over militarily to make sure that American businesses have access to those markets. In a free market capitalism, as supported by neoliberalism, the role of the everyday person, the role of your average citizen, is to work. Neoliberalism wants to ensure that the only way the average person can survive is to rent themselves to the capitalist class. They want to make sure that the community has no say in how capital is invested. They want to make sure that the community at large has no say in how businesses are run or what products are produced. They only want the consumer to have the choice between products that capitalists decide to produce and market, et cetera, et cetera. Which is not actually a choice if you really look into it and if you do any research, because there's a great deal of manipulation that goes on in the form of advertising and marketing. There's a great deal of manipulation that goes on in the hoarding of resources by capitalist cartels. And this is all stuff that we've talked about in the past. But all that is a long roundabout way of saying, essentially, that is the goal of neoliberalism. What is crucial to understand while we talk about concepts like capitalism and socialism and neoliberalism is they are economic systems. When we talk about these specific words and terminology, we are not talking about authoritarianism versus libertarianism. We're not talking about control versus freedom. We're just talking about economics. And what are economics? Economics are simply the production of goods and services and the distribution of those goods and services. That's really it. When people conflate socialism or communism with authoritarianism or libertarianism, they are making a mistake because those are two different axes, essentially. If you're going to look at the chart of, you know, how a society can kind of be defined, it must be defined both on the economic spectrum, and then it also must be defined separately on what you could guess, what you could call, I guess, the freedom spectrum. Okay, and we'll talk more about that as the episode goes on. But the last term that I feel I need to define, again, as you know, we have defined multiple times, I think, in this series, is class. Because class is absolutely crucial to understanding the differences between socialism and capitalism. And to get a real understanding of what socialism actually is and how it may be practiced. And since we've already defined the term, the means of production, we can define the word class. Class simply speaks to a relationship. Here in America, when people talk about, you know, the upper class, the middle class, the lower class, whatever you talk about, they very, very rarely nowadays in America use the term working class. More often than not, you'll hear the completely pointless term middle class. What are we actually talking about? A lot of Americans have a misunderstanding that class speaks to how much money you have or how much money you earn or what your net worth is or what kind of a house you live in or what sort of neighborhood you live in or et cetera, et cetera. You know, what color you are, what religion you are, where they think that that has any bearing whatsoever on what your class is. And it doesn't. Your class is simply and completely defined by your relationship to the means of production. That is it. Period. End of story. So, who are the working class? The working class are the majority of us. We do not own the means of production. We rent ourselves to the employing class, the capitalist class, who does own the means of production. And this is a very crucial relationship to fully understand. This is what we talk about when we talk about the term class struggle, or what you may hear sometimes referred to as class war. So that seems awfully hyperbolic. What are people talking about when they talk about class struggle and class war? Well, very simply put, there's a difference of interests when you are talking about the two classes, the working class and the owning class, or the business class, you know, those who own the means of production and those who do not. What is the contradiction between the two? What is the conflict? Well, the means of their survival are completely opposite. It is in the interests of the capitalist owning class to keep wages low so that they can therefore maximize profits. They don't actually need to work to earn, quote unquote, their living, to, you know, get the means of their survival. What they do need is for other people to work for them. And those people specifically use the means of production that they, you know, the capitalist owns, to produce value that they then take. The capitalist takes the what's called surplus value in the form of profit, and that's how they earn their living. They don't have to do anything except own things. Whereas on the flip side, in contrast, the working class must rent themselves by very definition, since they do not own the means of production. They must work the means of production that other people own, that the capitalist class owns, and that is how they earn their survival. So since they don't own anything, they have to work. And again, it is a goal of neoliberalism to keep the working class working. So you can see the conflict there. Workers want higher wages and to not work super hard, whereas capitalists want low wages and they want to force the working class to work as hard as they possibly can and pay them as little as humanly possible, just barely enough to keep them alive. That is where class struggle comes in. That is where class conflict comes in, simply because their interests are at odds with one another. And this is crucial to understand as we begin talking more about socialism and what a socialist system would actually look like and how it would actually operate and how it would operate better than a current system, specifically because of that conflict that we have just defined. Okay, so now that we've gotten those absolute basic definitions down, we can really start talking about what socialism is, and crucially, what it is not. So we mentioned earlier the quote-unquote socialists in America, the ones that are drawing a lot of attention. Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, chief among them. They are not socialists. And we mentioned that before. They call themselves social democrats, I think, or democratic socialists or whatever. So what they really want is not socialism. Why is that? Well, we need to do the big definition now. The big definition of socialism. So we know what the means of production are. We know that the working class are defined as the working class because they do not own the means of production. And the capitalist class are defined as the capitalist class because of their relationship to the means of production in as much as they own them. So socialism really is nothing more than the reversal of that relationship. A socialist relationship is where the working class, who do the work that produces society, own the means of production. That is it. That is all. So that might sound not at all like what you think socialism is. You might think that socialism means big government that heavily taxes corporations and uses the proceeds from those taxes to fund social systems like healthcare or education or blah, 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 right? That's what a lot of people in the American discourse think socialism is, and it is plainly not. So what is that thing then? Big government, you know, what people often call the Nordic model, right? Oh, those countries are socialist, aren't they? No, they are not socialist. Why aren't they socialist? Because the working class does not own the means of production. The capitalist class does. What is that thing then? Well, that is a state capitalism. That is what that is. State capitalism is a different form, is a different economic system from neoliberal capitalism. They are both capitalisms in as much as the capitalist class owns the means of production, but they are not socialism. Very plainly put, socialism is where the working class own the means of production. They get to decide what is produced, how it is produced, and what is done with the product of production. State capitalism is a form of capitalism where the state, instead of just acting as the arm to maintain the rights of capitalists, essentially, you know, instead of, if neoliberal capitalism uses the state merely to promote free market capitalism, state capitalism uses the state to desperately try and fight against all of the inherent negative externalities of capitalism. And that's just a fancy way of saying the state tries to fix the problems of capitalism, but they are absolutely bandages on a very broken and contradictory system. So, for example, the Nordic model, free college, free healthcare, you know, oftentimes decent wages, stuff like that, which is all very good. I'm not saying I don't want free education or free healthcare. I absolutely do. I'm not saying, you know, I don't want a reduction of the carceral state. I absolutely do. I'm not saying I don't want a reduction of the military-industrial complex. I absolutely do. But do not be fooled into thinking that the Nordic model is socialism. It is not. Socialism is where the working class owns the means of production. Now, let's go back to that relationship between the working class and the capitalist class. If socialism were actually realized in any country in the world, which it never has historically, by the way, in case you were curious, what would that mean for the capitalist class? Well, they would dissolve because they no longer own the means of production, which means the very definition of their existence is removed. There is no such thing as the capitalist class in a socialism because the means of production are collectively owned by the working class. So everyone in this system becomes the working class. What does that do? A society that removes conflict between the owners and the employed removes that inherent struggle. It removes that inherent class war, which we are in currently. Do not ever think that you are not engaged in a class war. The capitalist class knows they are engaged in a class war, and they are using every tool at their disposal to make sure that you do not think you are engaged in a class war. One of the other terms that you may hear, and we're probably not going to be able to go into this whole thing now. Well, we may as well try. Okay. So if socialism is nothing more than the working class owns the means of production, then you may ask yourself, okay, well, then what is communism? Well, that's a very large question to be asking for a show that only has less than 5 minutes left. So what we're going to quickly do is talk about the dictatorship of the proletariat. Oh my gosh, no, this is probably way too much to get into for this episode. But let's look at what a dictatorship really is. A dictatorship simply means that there is a class that rules, right? If the capitalists don't want you to think that you are engaged in class war, which you are, they certainly don't want you to think that you live in a dictatorship when you do. You live in a dictatorship of the capitalist class. They own the means of production. They have all the money. They have all the influence over the economic realities of your life. And therefore, they get to dictate the terms of your life. For example, you must work in some capacity to get food. You must work in some capacity to get housing. You must work in some capacity to get transportation, etc., etc. Healthcare, education, the list goes on. Everything you need to survive is held behind a paywall. And it's held behind gunpoint, essentially, because they use the state as the military and defensive arm of their interests. That is a dictatorship. You live in a dictatorship of the bourgeoisie. But we'll just say you live in a dictatorship of the capitalist class. The dictatorship of the proletariat is exactly the opposite of that. When the working class own the means of production, then they dictate the terms of the economic life of themselves and essentially everybody with whom they live and work. That could be called a dictatorship. Obviously, it's less violent by its very nature, because when you remove the class struggle between the capitalists and the working class, then you inherently remove the necessary violence to suppress the working class. That is what the police are. That is what the military is. By and large, their job is to maintain private property. Ah! Now, this is another thing that people get hung up on when they're looking into socialism. Socialism wants to abolish private property, and people get all up in arms about this. Oh my gosh, they're going to come and take my toothbrush. They're going to take my home. They're going to take my car, blah, blah, blah. That is not private property. All these terms are important. They mean something. That is personal property. Your shoes, your clothes, your house, the things that you use every day to live, those are personal property. Private property are, by and large, the means of production. So if you're renting a house, you don't own that house. That's private property. That is something that you are forced to rent or be homeless. Private property are obviously the factories. They're the malls. They're the office complexes. They're everything that you ought to collectively own, because they're the things that create the reality around us, and they're the things on which we all rely to survive. But you don't get to own them. They are privately owned by, you guessed it, the capitalist class. Okay, we're starting to run out of time here. This is a much larger topic than can be summed up in merely 29 minutes. We'll need to talk more about socialism. We'll need to talk more about communism. But this episode was really just to say, socialism is not what many people think it is. Socialism is not big government taxing corporations heavily and then using the funds to support social welfare. Socialism would be when you and I collectively own the means of production. Thank you all so much for tuning in for another week of The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I have been your host, NTSC, and I will be back again next week to talk about more things like freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can all be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti. And to learn more about the show, visit riverwestradio.com. There's more great programming coming up, but first, let's hear from Sandy and see what's going on in River West and Milwaukee at large.